It's a term that people use to talk about improving society, social activism, opposition to injustice, and I found this online to be, it's kind of a surprise to me. A lot of non-Jews, like myself, we use it. I use it freely. I like to see eyebrows raised on people, because if I know they're secular or if I know they're religious, you get a different sort of response. The eyebrows raising is always exciting. But even Bill Clinton used the expression tikkun olam. He was talking about his political agenda, social justice, or battling injustice. It's a term that 1,000 years ago became popular in Jewish mysticism, and it's in the book of Zohar. I won't go into that, but the entire philosophy of Kabbalah is based on this book. And there's this idea that, and I think there's some truth to this, that when a Jewish person does a mitzvah, that the ruptured universe, the ruptured world, becomes repaired. I think it's a nice thought. I'm not a mystic, but that's actually something that makes sense to me. Repairing the world, tikkun olam. It's a subject that I felt was appropriate today. It's a subject I know would have been on Jesus' heart and mind. I know Paul also talks about repairing, restoring, that Jesus is the program of tikkun olam, according to Paul. It's very clear. This idea of bringing about world peace, more of a modern term, back to kind of tikkun olam in American Jewish circles, it became popular after World War II and the Holocaust to use the expression to deal with things like genocide elsewhere. The Jewish community sort of have a license to use this term, and a lot of people respect that license because they had suffered so terrifically and horribly in the Holocaust. And I bumped into a person named Emil Falkenhayn, who just passed away in 2003. He was a rabbi, a professor. You've never heard of him. I had not heard of him, but I've come to realize that he has made a big impression on the theological Jewish world. He came up with this tikkun olam as a subject to be considered as the basis for a 614th commandment. And that's what I thought I would focus on at this moment. It's pretty interesting. I'll read his words. That in his book titled To Mend the World, he maintains that ever since Abraham's time, it's been God's intention to work through the people of Abraham in order to repair his creation. To mend the world, he issues what is called the 614th commandment. We, the Jewish people, are forbidden to despair of the world as a place which is to become the kingdom of God, lest we help make it a meaningless place in which God is dead or irrelevant, and everything is permitted. In other words, he says to his Jewish community that even in the face of suffering, they are not permitted to give up on the world. They must still believe that a broken world can be repaired, that this world will become the kingdom of God, that earth will be as heaven. To despair is, this belief, Falkenhayn asserts, is no different than colluding with the evil and suffering of the world. Tikkun olam is a Jewish concept echoed by Paul in the New Testament when Paul says that God is restoring all things through Jesus. And there's a number of verses. Colossians 1:20 is a good starting point. A number of Christians mistakenly believe that God has already given up on this good creation that he's given us, and that they'll settle, that God will settle just for a few saved souls in heaven instead. Sort of an escapist kind of idea. But I believe that salvation is restoration and not evacuation. I know many Christians. I've had many years with people in this particular mindset that we are destined to escape this broken world for the great by and by in the sky. But I've come to understand as an adult that we should be people who, by our prayers and our actions, we obey this idea of a 614th commandment. That we are people who do not despair of this world, and in our own small ways, through our prayers, through our charity, through our hands, through a simple trip to Niger. By the way, it wasn't designed to be an outreach. we were, going to visit Josh and Julie, their family. It's been our intention to visit them for the last 5 years. And this was the first moment that really could work financially. We had this little window of time. We had a little Picadona account that we've been putting money into for 5 years. And part of it was restoring family relations, because I think Drew kind of annoyed at us for stalling. For God so loved the world, if we stop there, that's already a complete thought. I'm going to leave with this thought. I can't continue with everything I wanted to say. But seeing the kids at this hospital, they reminded me of Abraham. And this idea of Tikkun Olam comes through the people of Abraham. He did not lift a finger to be saved. He did nothing to earn or deserve it. He simply believed in God. And he was saved by faith alone. It doesn't say that Abraham believed in God. It says Abraham believed God. It doesn't say that Abraham accepted God as his personal savior. It says Abraham believed God. Period. The patients that cure are pure. In part, I'm going to come read the last two sentences.
Patients at cure are pure in heart, and they reminded me of what God must have loved about Abraham. They come to you and hold your hand before you have the chance to withdraw. You are forced to hold on to them. Abraham held on to God in this way. He also believed everything God said to him.
That'll be helpful.